not right. You are not right. They had a couples event here last night and had a bunch of couples here and had a ball. Okay. Roy is not here today. He hurt his foot. I don't know that he did it doing the couples thing. But they played Family Feud, and evidently, to do the buzzer, whoever knew the answer sat down on the chair first and did that. Roy, this is for you. If you're watching today, you get the award. Oh, boy. But they said they laughed till they were crying. They had a great time last night. Those kind of things are going to continue to happen. We're excited about what God's doing here at the church. If you're new to True Life Church, stop out at the guest center. You get a free T-shirt. You get a Kingdom Thoughts book. And those are obviously no charge. We just want to bless you and want to get you thinking about the kingdom of God. And everything is better in the kingdom. And Kim and I have found out the closer we get to God, just the better life gets. And so we're working, you know, that's just our heart. And, you know, when you do something that you love, it's not as much work. Does that make sense? You know, they used to tell me stuff like this, you know, just find out what you love to do and then you do it so well that somebody pays you for it. That makes sense and everybody likes that. But there's a lot of truth in there. If you're doing stuff that you love, it's easier for you to do it because you love doing it. And, you know, sometimes we do stuff just to survive. Been there, done that, got a couple T-shirts with that stuff. That's always fun. Not really. But we've been talking about living whole. This is week three of that series. And I wanted just to, you know, and again, start out by just saying I'm doing everything as best I can to explain. There's so much to explain, but I'm making everything as easy as I can. I want you to understand, and so everybody, I want you to listen. I don't dislike or not like, or I like doctors, so that you know. Because people are like, oh, he doesn't believe we should go to doctors. I do. Doctors are great. God uses doctors. God uses medicine. How many knows that? He also does miraculous healings without doctors and medicine. How many knows that? I get that. So I just want you to know I'm not against medicine. I'm not against doctors. If God is using the doctor to heal you, I think that's good. I have taken medicine before. I have used both doctors and medicine. I'm very thankful for them because God has used them to help save my life. That's amazing. It's not wrong to go to the doctor or take medicine if that is what you have the peace in your heart and the Lord is leading you to do. I think that's fine. I think that's good. I think we need Christian people in the medical field. We don't have enough Christian people in many fields, but in that field especially. But this is what we have to understand. When I was talking last week, I said people will go to the doctor and they won't like what the doctor says. You have to understand in the medical profession and in the world, they're going to tell you the facts. They are legally bound to tell you the facts. They have to tell you the facts because people will be like, you didn't tell me that. I didn't know that. Because people will hold them to that. So that is their job. They find things in those five sense realm, in the carnal realm, the natural, all of those, you know, the five senses, your hearing, your taste, touch, feel, see. They will tell you what they find. And that's what they're supposed to do. You just need to know that. They're not against you. They're telling you what they found. Okay? So understanding that, what I'm saying is this: don't let the truth of the word be moved by the facts. They're going to tell you the facts. If you go to the doctor and you feel to go to the doctor, that's great. And then you know maybe even more what naturally is going on. Don't let what the doctor is telling you, because they're not your enemy. They're just telling you what they found. That's all I'm trying to say. So I'm trying to expound on that just a little bit. So just don't be moved by the facts because you have the truth. There's people in this building that were, hey, you have cancer. That was the fact. But the truth is they're still here because God did something, used the doctor, used whatever. So understand all of that. What I'm talking about is our belief system. What you believe is the ultimate truth, And that's what you consent or cooperate with. If you cooperate with doubt and unbelief, that's what you get. If you're very double-minded, that's what you get. You don't get really anything. You just get torment. When this is all over, when I get to the end of this message, how many have ever been tormented with, you just feel like thoughts? Anybody besides me? Listen, found out something, and actually PK shared it with me, and it's all from the Word of God, and I have used it. So it's not like I haven't used it, but I've used it in the way I'm going to share with you at the end, and it works every time. Pretty crazy. Now, the enemy still tries, but this works every time. And so I'm like, okay. So I was telling her, I said, I got to tell somebody because it works. So anyway, belief system. Whatever you believe is true has got you where you are today. You look in the mirror, that's where you are because that's the way you've walked it out. Now, I get it, but you, Brett, you don't know what happened to me. I've been dealt this, I've been dealt that. This is what happened, and I get it. We all have hurdles that we have to go over. We all have things that have happened. In this life, you'll have tribulation. Some of us probably have had, we feel like more than our fair share. I understand that. But we still ultimately have to make decisions on what we believe. We still have to be accountable on what we believe. Because you either believe it or you don't. Why sometimes it happens, it's not God not doing it. It's some, how many knows the short circuit is in us? We talk about healing. We need to know, why is healing the will of God? It is His will all the time, every time, for everyone, and we need to know why. I'm not saying we understand it all. I'm not saying I have all the answers. I'm not saying why some didn't make it and some did. I don't have all those answers. I just know that God heals. And His will says He does it all the time. So, but what I'm trying to say is if we don't believe that it's God's will that He heals all the time, every time, for anyone that asks, sometimes how many think He heals everybody but me or everybody but this in my situation, and the enemy tries to turn that on us. But if we don't believe that God is a healing God, then we struggle that He heals anytime. We do, because then we think we get back to what we were doing before we knew God, begging. God, if I just do this enough, because we struggle with, He might heal somebody, but when it comes to me, this is not. We have to get past us. What happens is we allow negative experience when we pray for somebody, and it becomes our doctrine. And then we say, well, it must not have been God's will. Have you ever witnessed to somebody? You wanted to tell them about Jesus and they didn't accept Jesus? Must not have been God's will then. He didn't want them saved. But that's not true. The Word says in Peter that He doesn't want any to perish. So if it's God's will to be saved, Jesus died for that. He paid that price. He also paid the price for healing. It is His will. First of all, let's just put this out there, because He said it. God doesn't say anything. He's not like me or you, but I'll just use me because it's more fun, that says things. I was in a team huddle this morning, and I said, you could be on the cuspid. My wife goes, that's a tooth. Then somebody said, the cusp. I'm like, oh, that's the word, cusp. And then Ron back there says, Pastor's cusping. I'm just entertainment for heaven because I just figure I make up my own words. But first of all, if He said it, He doesn't lie. Secondly, it's in His nature. I am the Lord God who heals you. That says in Exodus and many other places. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He did it before, how many knows? Come on, somebody, He'll do it again. And third, Healing is in the atonement. And the definition of atonement, I looked it up, is the action for making amends for a wrong or an injury. It is, he atoned for all of your sin, for anything that was done wrong. Anything. Anything that you messed up on. He paid for that. His blood was shed for our sins. So which is easier for the Lord to do, forgive sins or heal somebody? Go to somebody and say, rise and walk. We have no issue with leading somebody to Jesus because we've all tried, whether they accept him or not. We're like, we know he died for our sins. But we have issue when, hey, can I pray that God heals you? Well, according to the scripture, if we understand it, he's already healed you. We just have to receive it. And when we receive it, then that comes together and things happen. If you don't believe me, ask Andy. She just came down front, said, my back hurt just to walk up here. We prayed for her. I said, do what you couldn't do. She goes, it doesn't hurt anymore. That's God. So when we come to healing, we can pray for somebody and say, pain has no right being in your body. So get out. Leave. We evict you. That's fun to say that word, kind of. Evict. We evict you in Jesus' name. How can we say it? I'm going to give you some thoughts today on why we can say that. Here's number one. Because it's already done. Jesus already paid the price. He already forgave our sins. Righteousness is yours. And you can just, here's a phrase. Some of you might be like, I don't like that phrase, but just check it out. You can write the check on it. I don't like that. Listen to what I'm saying first. If I told, I'm going to use Tad as an example because I just like to use Tad. Tad spelled backward is dat. Thank you. Keep an eye on him, Scott. My last name is. Anyway, let's just say if I told Tad, I'm going to write you a check for $200. Now it's on a check. Tad's going to be like, thank you, I think. and so he'll, thank you. Why? Because a check is a, isn't it a promissory note? It's just saying, did I hand him $200? No, it's a thing saying $200. All he has to do now is go to the bank and cash the check. So he's going to rejoice before he does that, knowing he's already got the money. Are you with me? That's what I'm saying, why I'm saying you can write the check. Jesus already paid for it. You don't, it's already done. It's voice activated. We receive, thank you, Father, I receive that in Jesus' name. You speak because it's in your authority. You get the gift of healing. Jesus has already provided for it 2,000 years ago. He's not going back to the cross. Any kind of healing you need, he's already done. Any kind of thing that comes at us, he already died for COVID. Secondly, know your love. 1 Corinthians 13:13. I just added this today so you guys don't have that one. And now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Faith works best when it is when you understand you're loved. Many get focused on themselves and their works. Did I do enough? Should I do this? Maybe I didn't say the right thing. I didn't use the King James English, you know, or whatever. And, you know, we put all these things on there. I didn't jump through these hoops. There aren't any hoops to jump through, people. Jesus already paid for it. We start saying things like this. Well, why me? Why is this happening to me? Why me, me, me? Because listen, if the enemy can do anything, he's going to get you focused on you. And this isn't about you. This is about him and what he did for you. So it's not about who you are. It's whose you are. Now, it's okay, I think, that we can ask God because the Holy Spirit says he shows us mysteries. That means there's things we don't know and we can ask the Spirit to show us things, right? I think it's okay to ask God to show you revelation. God, why hasn't this happened yet? I believe it's already happened, but I mean, why hasn't it manifested? I think you're okay to do that. Because I want to address some things, because we get afraid to talk, don't we? Because if we say anything wrong or we do anything wrong, it's just like, that's just too much. I might as well not, you know, I might as well stay in bed because I'm going to screw it up sometime along the day. Don't keep the focus on you. Keep the focus on the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that we're not accountable for every word. I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to override the Bible. What I'm saying is, if the enemy can get you so inward turned on everything and everything, you won't be able to do anything. And you got to stop. Because the Holy Spirit is big enough to show you, hey, you just need to break that. That's good. Just break it. You need to pray over that. That's fine. Just pray over it. And you can walk in your life and enjoy your life. It's about, again, what he's done. If you stay in the why me mode, you'll stay frustrated. You need faith to believe. You need hope to have faith. Because isn't that what hope is? That's the things that you cannot see. You hope for those. That's the picture. And you need to know that you're loved. Because then you have that God loves you, for God so loved. If you see any kind of scripture, if you go to any kind of big sporting event, somebody's going to paint on their chest John 3:16, or their head, or they'll throw up a sign. For God so loved the world. If you could understand the love that Jesus died for you, picked you before you ever picked him, it helps your faith walk. Most people, we approach receiving. Now listen to this. If we could rest, I just love that. If we could rest in what Jesus did, just, no, I might not even understand it all yet. I'm still walking through it or whatever, but I'm resting because guess what? He's with me. But we approach receiving healing like we're going to the bank meeting a loan officer for an unsecured loan. We're concerned about our credit score. I don't know if I did good enough. I don't know if I can get approved for this healing. Does that make sense? Because we start doing that. And again, think about it. We're focusing on us. Jesus is saying, I took care of that. He's told Kim before, and I love this. He's like, I paid for that. We just think we're not good enough. And that is of the enemy. We think we don't do enough, and that is of the enemy. You can't do anything to make God love you more. You can't do anything less to make him love you. I mean, he loves you completely. We need to receive our healing because it belongs to you. You can write the check on it. You can cash it. Think about it. If you had money in the bank that's yours and you need it, you just go get it. Just go get it. I need to go get groceries. See, my kids thought that that little card you put in there, when they were little, Daddy, 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 let's go, I'm hungry. They were always hungry. I had two boys, always hungry. You know why they liked Rallies? Because Rallies, that was back in the day, you can still do it now. You can get like two sandwiches for three or two for four or whatever. My boys are like, oh, I'm all about that. Can I have eight? You know, so they were just like, we need that. We need it, Dad. We need those fries in our lives. We need them. And this Maddie would tell me, she said, Daddy, I'm like, honey, we've spent our budget for this week. We ate out just 2 days ago. We have leftovers at home. Mom made some. I don't want that. I don't want it. But it's really good. No. Just go to the machine, Dad, and put that little card in, and it will give you money. So, you know, I have to tell them, I'm like, yeah, but there's got to be money in there to come out. Well, you have money. Well, yeah, but it's designated for somewhere else. But they don't understand that. All they know is that thing spits out money, and that means cheeseburgers. But you'd go get it. If you had money and you needed it, you'd go get it. Jesus already provided that for you. All you have to do is get it. Andrew Womack tells a story where he was a little kid in VBS, Vacation Bible School, and there was a minister came down and he had a dollar bill, and he said, who wants this dollar bill? And oh boy, all those kids were like, I want it. He said, well, come and get it. They all ran down there, and this guy probably about tall as that gentleman there. What are you, 6-something? You got to be how tall? Yeah, no, not you. I know you. You're my height. What are you, 5'8"? Okay, good man, good stock. We'll stick together. You, sir, how, 6-something? Yeah, wow. See, like him, stud like that. Hold that up, ain't no kid going to be able to grab that dollar. And he said, kids were clamoring all around him, trying to get the dollar they couldn't. Andrew saw that, and he went, and he climbed up the guy. Climbed him like he'd climb a flagpole. Grabbed the dollar out of his hand and went, shoo, and got the dollar. And everybody's like, oh. And the guy's point was, I told you to come and get it, but only one kid did. Everybody else wanted it, but only one kid got it. Makes me think, if it's right there and I can have it, why don't I go get it? Jesus already provided it. Here's the third thing. Exercise your authority. Luke 9:1-2. He called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Now that all in the New King James is actually referring to not just all diseases, but all demons. If you go to the NLT, it says all demons and to heal all diseases. But it is actually a reference to both. So let me ask you a question. Because I had to ask myself, I'm like, because I felt like the Lord was saying, what are you, Brett? Are you a disciple? Never really thought about it. But I would say, yeah. Brett, are you a disciple? Yeah. So every disciple he issued, he delegated power and authority to do all of those things. Authority over demons, authority over diseases, preach the kingdom, heal the sick. Are you a disciple? If we say yes to that, we should be doing that. Shouldn't we? But see, we don't look at ourselves like that. And God is saying that's why the church is not doing what it's supposed to. We need to see ourselves as his disciples. The word power in the Greek is the word dunamis. It means miraculous power to force in mind or strength, the ability to make possible. That word authority in the Greek is exousia, and it means privilege, authority, capacity, competency, control, jurisdiction. Exousia means like this, like if you were a cop in Marion. The badge he wears gives him exousia power. It gives him the authority, the capacity, the competency, the jurisdiction to arrest criminals if he sees them doing anything over the city. And he also, as a police officer, gets the dunamis. That's the gun, the taser, the car, the handcuffs, the tear gas. He has all of that. So they patrol Marion. If there's a cry for help, they're there to protect, to catch the thief or to do what they're supposed to carry out. So if they see a crime being committed, what happens? Most of us do this. God, help me. You got to do something. And the, you know, it's like if the cop would see it, he'd call the chief. Chief, I see a robbery. It's happening right now. I'm watching it. What's the chief going to do? He's going to say, hang up the phone and go stop it. Isn't that not true? But we don't do that. We do just like that. We're like, God. And God says, I gave you the dunamis. I gave you the exousia. You have everything you need. Quit telling God about your mountain and start telling your mountain about your God. Take authority and start saying, you know what? I am not passing this. There's a new sheriff in town, baby, and things are going down today. Jesus delegated authority to you and I. Jurisdiction over Healingville. That's pretty cool. Say this with me. Say, I've got jurisdiction. I got the badge. I've been delegated to watch over Healingville. Amen. So Healingville, what is that? Okay, let's just say, could it be Marion? Could be. But let's just say, start with you. Start with yourself. Start with your family. Start with what is in your jurisdiction and in your authority. I love the young lady came up. I prayed for her dog. Was that you? Prayed for her dog. God gives us things to give us pleasure, does he not? We prayed for our dogs. We saved our dogs from surgery before. We prayed for a goldfish, brought it back to life. True story, Milo. Carlo, okay? Jimmy crack corn, I don't care. So Carlo, dead, laying across the rock, just dead. And Maddie's like, Daddy, do something, pray for my fish. I'm like, he's dead. Get the tartar sauce. I don't know, you know. So I'm just like, I don't know what to do. So my first thought was what we'd see on a TV sitcom. Go get another goldfish. Swap it out. Looky there. No, that wasn't good enough. She's sharp. So we just prayed over the fish right there. And he came back to life. He starts swimming around. And I'm like, okay. Awesome. What I'm saying is the same God that can care about Carlos, right? Carlo. Jimmy crack corn, if he can care about Jimmy, he cares about you. So we have that power, but what we do is we don't use it because we don't believe we can. But we can. So when the enemy comes in and tries to give you a symptom on your body, or somebody that you love in your family, don't call the chief. Arrest it. Go after it yourself. You have the authority to do it. If you believe you could do it because he gave you, like, go do that. The disciples came back and said, even the demons listen to us. I mean, could you imagine Jesus? Jesus would be like, I told you that. But he was so kind. He's like, yeah. That stuff has to bow its knee because when you take authority, it's already been provided for. The problem we have is we haven't believed it. We haven't acted on it. We haven't put our works with our faith because we just think it happens for somebody else. But no, it'll happen for you, guaranteed. Do you believe it? He gave you authority. How many here are married and have children? Ooh. If somebody broke in your house, started trying to get your wife or get your kids, are you going to say, help yourself? There's some leftovers in the fridge if you get hungry. You're not going to say anything like that. You're going to start doing what you're supposed to be doing. I know, you know, for me, I'm going to make Rambo look like Donald Duck. You know, or I'm going to turn into Bruce Lee or, you know, whatever. I mean, because that's my family. We go into protection mode, not wimp mode. The devil is the trespasser. Amen? So you got to run him off because he doesn't go off on his own. You have to use your authority. You have to use your power. Now, it's delegated. You have to understand. It's been given to you by God. Use the word of God. How many knows it is written? It is written. It is written. Then here's the thing. If you don't know what's written, it's going to be hard for you to use the word. So you have to get the word inside you so that you can say, it is written. So when the devil comes at you with a lie, you can come back and go, no, that is a lie. It is written. You know, when we tell you about praying and sowing seed, we write it down. Why? So we can say, it is written. When he comes back and says, oh, that's not going to happen. Oh, yes, it will, because on that day, according to Mark 11, 24, I believed I received when I prayed. It is written. You got to exercise your place in Christ. You can tell. It's fun to be able to tell at least somebody where to go. Don't wimp out. You have the power. Matthew 16, 19. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Isn't that awesome? You can bind things. You can loose things. But it also works. What if you don't bind? What if he comes in and is attacking and you don't do anything? You don't bind. You might as well say, there's the fridge. Help yourself. You'd be like Barney Fife. Let me find my boy. You have the authority and the power to kick him out. Remember the soldier that had the servant that was sick? And he called for Jesus to come, and Jesus came. Jesus, by the way, he never refuses anyone who calls on him for healing. There's nothing written ever that he ever says no to anybody for healing. So Jesus says he's going to go with him, and the soldier gets this revelation. Wait, I understand authority. I have men underneath me. If I tell them to go, they go. If I tell them to do this, they do that. You just say the word. That's all we need. You don't even have to come. He believed Jesus had authority and that he could repeat it. He could say that. He could take care of his soldier friend that was home. He didn't have to bring Jesus there because, Jesus, if you tell me I can do that, I got it. It's good. Jesus has authority, and he knew that over sickness, over pain, over depression, poverty, demons, death, healing. So do you. You have that same authority. You're his disciple. He delegated that to me and you. The more I know that, I'm like, oh, this is too cool. It's like you have a secret that is not really a secret, but you want to tell everybody because not many people practice it. This is what the soldier's saying. You don't have to come to my house. Just say the word. You know, when I was growing up, my dad's sitting back there. My sister's sitting right there. And so my sister, if my dad told my sister something or he told me something and he wasn't there and we had to do some kind of slave work like yard work, something like that, we would, you know, if he's not there, we're going to say what we think. Isn't that what you do? You go, I ain't doing that. I ain't going to do that. Yeah, you are. Because you know dad will come home and it better be done. Why? Because he said it, told her to tell me or me to tell her, and that's all we had to say. Uh-uh, dad said. The rest is history. Even if he came home, sometimes I'd plan it. So he'd come home, I'd grab the rake right before he came home. But he's a smart cookie. He'd be like, you didn't get very much done, did you? So I'd be out there after supper doing that, and she'd be inside doing something else. You see, we can take what our father said, and we can literally make it happen. Delegated authority by Jesus. So what are you doing with it? See, that's the question. What do we do with it? What do we tell sickness? What do we tell pain? What do we tell demons? What do we tell lack? Do we tell them to go? We tell them to stay? We invite them in? We have a pity party? Guess what? Pity party's canceled. Nobody's coming. There was a party in hell, but it was canceled due to fire. Nobody's going there either. What do we tell that stuff? If we understand we have authority, then why are we putting up with it? We need to start saying, you know what, I thank you, God, for the healing. I thank you, Father, and speak specifically to what's going on. Andy came up, prayed for her back. I didn't say, God, bless her ears. She didn't ask for a blessing on her ears. She said, my back hurts. So you know what we talk to? We talk to the muscles in her back. Do they listen? Ask Andy. Why? Because it was delegated authority. She came. You know, Brett, you're not her husband. No, but she came here and asked me. That gave me legal jurisdiction. So because I had legality there, that works. If Jesus had power and authority given to him, and he gave it to us, and those things had to serve him, shouldn't they have to serve us? You have to command your servants. They don't leave on their own. You have to heal the sick. Cast out devils. Cast out spirits of infirmity. Command pain and disease to go. Command healing to come. It's that simple. Do you believe you have the power delegated to you by Jesus himself? Now, my daughter, I don't know if she, I can't see back there. If she's back there, she might be in the nursery or something. She had to take authority when she was having Asher because things were trying to happen. So she had to, now listen, I'm not a woman, obviously. And I'm not going to change to be one, obviously. Did I say that out loud? Sure did. So anyways, she's not comfortable, but she has to take a stand and take authority over stuff that's going on. My daughter-in-law, Hannah, had to do the same thing with Alindia. They said, here's the facts. This is what we see. And this is what Sam and Hannah said. We don't see that. I'm glad you told us. That's fine. I don't even know if they said, I'm glad you told us that. So let me scratch that. They just said, I understand the facts, but we believe the truth. And so they began to say, God, this is what we are believing. And they spoke to the very facts that they said were messed up. Are you hearing what I'm trying to tell you? You are taking, come on, you're taking a shotgun, and now you're saying, I got a rifle. And I'm going to laser my sights on whatever that fact is, because I got a God that's bigger than that fact. I got a truth that goes past that fact. And they began to shoot at that with the truth. It is written. It is written. Stand in agreement. Watch what they say. Cast down every thought. Both those babies are normal. Totally healed. Different from what the doctor had said. And the doctor wasn't against them. You need to understand, he was not their enemy. He's just stating the facts. So if you try to tell me, Brett, I don't think God heals today, you're too late. I've seen too much. He'll heal through the authority he gave you. See, we think, well, for him to heal, we have to have Benny Hinn here. God used Ben. Okay. We have to have somebody here that's well known. He uses gifts of miracles. He uses gifts of healing, and he uses those people. He can use you too. The difference is they're just exercising their belief. That's what they do. That's what their calling is. So that's what they do. There's nothing wrong with that. But that doesn't mean you can't operate in that as well. 1 Corinthians 7:4. My wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Brett, why are you telling me that? I get calls to go and pray for people. And I'm thankful to be able to do that. I got a call from a wife that said, I don't know who she is. Somebody told somebody that I would go pray. Would you go into the hospital and pray for my husband? He is in ICU and he is in a coma. Would you pray for him? I said, sure. So I went to the hospital. Sure enough, ICU, he's in a coma. He's got tubes and everything. He's not conscious. How many knows the spirit's probably still awake? But in the natural, he's not. He can't respond to me. And the nurse and stuff that was in there saying, it doesn't look good. They don't think he'll make it through today. And the wife, her comment to me was, I'm just glad that you get to go pray for him. Could you go as soon as you can? And so I prayed for him. Now, I want you to hear what I'm trying to tell you. I saw absolutely no change. That's all I see. He's not coherent to anything, but I ask what was wrong. What were they battling? And they told me whatever was going on. And so in that ER room, I spoke to that diagnosis. I spoke truth to the facts they gave me. And this is what I called forth. Listen, the end result of what I was believing. Are you with me? I'm not believing that he stays. I'm believing all that lines up with the word of God and that he is completely healed and that he comes back. And I have people that have given me a hard time on that. Oh, there's no hope. I get it. And I can't say every person I've ever prayed for has ever had the success I'm telling you here. I'm not with every person. I don't know where all of that is. Those are the answers I don't always have. Okay? I don't know where they're at belief-wise. I don't know all of that. So I hope that makes some kind of sense. But I saw no change. But again, I believed there was change because faith, I don't have to see it, right? Seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing. So I just believed, God, you're doing the work. I left there, told the wife, I prayed for him. God bless you. Have a great day. I don't know her. Never met her before. 2 weeks, I get a phone call. The guy that was in the coma tells me where he lives. I go to his house. He says, I'm so glad you came and prayed for me. They said he woke up 2 hours later and everything changed. Got out of ICU and he was so happy that I had been there to pray. And I mean, I'm looking at him and I still remember this because right beside him, his dentures were in a glass. So he was talking to me and his teeth were in a glass. And he kept telling me about my smile. I don't know. And said, you keep doing that because one day you don't want this. And then he finally stuck him in and I could understand him a little better. But still, was just so proud. And he was just thanking God. Now, let me ask you. Disciple or not disciple? What's God? I mean, I don't know him. But see, it wasn't whether he came to my church or what. This was an assignment. What's on your assignment list? How many knows the devil is a liar? He's also a loser. Here's number four, and we're almost finished. God's word trumps everything. God's word is the highest of everything. You can keep that on. That's fine. But many of us miss it because we have to look for everything in the five sense realm. If I can't see it, if I don't, you know, then I just don't believe it's happening. But it's happening. You can't even tell a plant's coming up from the ground till it breaks the surface. But it's been working its way up. You just couldn't see it. Faith isn't denial. It's not in denial. It's believing what God said. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. The doctor's going to give you a report if you go to the doctor, and that's okay. And we get afraid when the doctor says, tell me what's wrong. I've done it, so I'm not casting stones. I don't want to tell you because I don't want to give life to it. You ever felt that? I don't want to tell you. I think you can tell him. That's why you went there. This is what's hurting. I think that's, that, you know, that's not an aha moment. That's just, okay. But listen to what I'm saying. If you won't tell him, the doctor's going to say, why are you here? Have you ever went to the doctor and he says, you're sick. That's $85, please. I know that's why I came here. But, you know, you can tell him, but listen to me. By his stripes, you're healed. But this is why I've come. I felt led to come to you, and here's why I'm here. We don't say anything because we don't know how to talk. We're afraid we'll trip over our own mouth because we get hung by the tongue. You can tell your doctor, hey, my body is telling me this. But, everybody say, but. By his stripes, I'm healed. He might not like that response if he's not a believer. Oh, you're one of those. You bet I'm one of those. But here, you know, so doc, I think God wants to use you and I'm good with that. That's okay. But the facts with the truth. Instead of butting the truth with the facts. I'm going to say it one more time. But the facts with the truth. Instead of butting the truth with the facts. I'm having issues with this, but by his stripes I'm healed. Instead of, I know God heals me, but oh my gosh. You understand what I'm saying? We get it mixed. I love my church, but. I love my husband, but. I love my wife, but. Those goats butt everything, don't they? Whatever's on the other end of your butt, that's what you believe. If people in the back. In other words, like I said, hey, my knees are hurting, but by his stripes I'm healed. Father, I thank you that my ligaments are lined up. I thank you, God, that the pain, I'm not going to call it mine, is gone in Jesus' name. I speak to that. I speak to mobility and strength. I have that at my butt after that. I don't know how to say it and make it sound proper, but you know what I'm saying. You must value the truth over the facts. No matter what the facts say, you'll believe the word of God. No matter what you went to the doctor for, okay. And if God wants to use the doctor, okay. But still understand that God is going to get the credit. Because he created doctors, he created medicine. And there'll be things that you'll do that you, because you put the truth over the facts, that you didn't used to do, like every time you get a slight headache, you take an aspirin. What if you get a slight headache and you say, pain, you go in Jesus' name. I have a headache, but thank God he died for that headache and it's gone. And the pain leaves just like it did for Andy in her back. Because you've exercised your authority. Now, how many want to know what to do with thoughts? I give you these three things and we'll be done. I'm going to make them really quick and they're going to be really easy. She shared this with me and I came back in the first day and said, that works! And we'd probably all done it. And it worked, we just never did it consistently. Maybe you don't want to hear it. It's helped me. You want to hear it? Just this side or this side? Oh, good girl. I'm taking notes. Would you just get on with it? Okay, here's the first thing. The enemy's going to attack you with thoughts, does he not? Now, he's not omniscient. That means he's not all-knowing. He doesn't even know if you accept the thoughts till he sees you respond. Because he's a fallen angel. But you still have to address those thoughts. Amen? See, I didn't think I had to address them but they just kept coming. So here's what I'm saying. You have to address what you're being fought on. Okay? I have to address those issues. So I'm going to address by speaking to that thought, the word of truth. So I'm going to speak, okay, let's just say this. Because I 4 years ago, I had a heart attack. So the enemy will tell me things like, he'll bombard me with, she's going to find you. You'll never see this church take off to the level that you thought. You will die. You'll be dead by morning. How'd you like to get those thoughts? So I speak to those. I will not die. I will see the fruition of this church. I will have a long life, says the Lord. And I begin to speak life to myself. I begin to command fear to leave. I speak to those thoughts. And I say to them exactly what the word says. So I combat them with, it is written. What is that word for you? What are you addressing? Give them the truth. Then, here's number two. I bind the spirit that sent it. Bind the spirit that sent it. If somebody's coming in to rob your house, you get the robber. He can't rob. Bind the spirit. You lying spirit. You spirit of fear in Jesus, you infirmity, you sickness, you disease. What are you binding? You bind that right now in the name of Jesus because you have delegated authority. So you bind it, the spirit that sent the thought. And here's the third one. Then you just start praising God. Just start praising God for freedom. And I'm telling you, I'm like, as simple as that is, 1, 2, 3, it goes away. Now, will he try again? Yeah, he's an idiot. Sure he will. But you can just continue to do that, and after a while, he gets kind of tired. You want to do that? I'm going to turn on the praise valve. I'm going to start doing whatever God tells me to do, and then he'd be like, we got to quit messing with him because he starts sending stuff our way. Do it. Speak the truth. Bind the spirit. Praise God. Speak to the thought. Command it with the word of truth. I can't make it any simpler. It is written. You want freedom? I'm showing you how to get it. Can we pray?